Coaches, I wanted to take a quick minute before we jump into today's episode to remind you about the power of our Green Team Framework. Now, if you're a coach who's been with us for many years, you know how powerful the Green Team is. And for all those that are new, you need to take advantage of it starting today. In fact, we guarantee that within 30 days, you will have more committed, consistent, and competitive athletes in your program once you implement the 7 parts of the Green Team Framework. It's a leadership framework that, as one of our coaches in St. Louis said, is like leadership cheat code. It's as if we figured out all the right buttons to push to get your players to level up. So, coach, if you haven't gotten started with Lead 'Em Up, get involved today and start taking advantage of the leadership framework, the Green Team Framework that will transform your program. And if you're already in Lead 'Em Up, you know the power of the Green Team. We just want to encourage you, keep building your Green Team. Keep going deeper. Keep reaping the benefits. Hey, listen, make sure you're building your Green Team. But in the meantime, enjoy today's episode. You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A. Thank you for hanging with us. I am Adam alongside Kyle as we continue on with our championship series, The Journey. So we sit down with a handful of Lead 'Em Up coaches that took their teams on championship runs to really unpack and dissect the ups, the downs, the whole journey that every championship run always requires. And today we're joined by one of our favorites. I mean, and I don't say that lightly, one of our favorites, Coach Caleb Money down at Shining Light Academy in North Carolina. Caleb, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, guys? Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, no, it's our pleasure, man. And Coach Money, it doesn't get better than that, okay? And I know that's a joke you've been hearing your whole life, but I think it's very appropriate in light of the Green Team. And Money, do you build on that, Coach?
I try my best. I'm not the, super hyper guy about my last name, especially since I've been married to such a low maintenance wife for the last several years. But I play on it as much as I can. You know, I tell the guys to love one another, and as much as they love Money, and we try to go from there.
So Caleb, like this year was an adventure, and I think the ups and downs of this season were captured. You could almost say, and I'm sure we'll talk about it, the final minute or two of the championship game and how wild that was. I think that may be a snapshot into just the wild journey of your season as a whole, but you officially completed a three-peat and the CSAA, the Carolina State Athletic Association Division I, 3-peat, which is a big deal, and obviously we'll unpack that. But talk a little bit about how Carolina does their divisions, because it's backwards and it's not by school size. How does that work?
For sure. So our association is a combination of Christian schools, private schools, and also a few homeschools or homeschool organizations. And our commissioner, Rick Barker, is a great guy. And he started this, I guess, almost 2 decades ago. And it gives an opportunity for smaller schools and obviously homeschool organizations that don't have a lot of funding background to have an opportunity to play in association and play for a state championship. And there are those other homeschool and Christian school organizations. But when you are not a large school, you have funding that has to be in those associations and things you have to keep up with. You have to have a certain amount of sports, guys and girls sports, to be in those associations. And so with our association, it allows us to honestly pick and choose what sport we want to put in. And being one of K through 12, and we have 210 students, period, K through 12. And it's been a great association for us to be in and be able to have our boys basketball program in. So Division I, and that is the highest in that association, whereas our public schools still go by the traditional 1 through 5, 6, 7A. this, it's nice for us to go through a coaches poll rather than size of school. And you have three coaches polls throughout the season that dictate what division each school will be in based on their record, max prep ranking, and strength of schedule and max prep as well.
Hold on, three votes? So it can change in the middle of the season?
And so your conference, you're not locked to regional conference games. We're just one large association, and then it gets dialed into the final three divisions with 1 month to play. So you have the full month of January to go through and know what bracket you're going to be in and what your schools are going to be in. And that's who you see. You can schedule those schools in the, you know what schools are in the association, and you can schedule whoever you want throughout the year. It gives us the availability to go to Pensacola, Florida, like we have done the last 2 years, to Bob Jones University in Greenville for a tournament. It allows us to go to a national tournament without any type of ties to a conference schedule or anything like that. And then everything, all the coaches vote or watching the records throughout the year. It's very unique. It can definitely open up some issues, but the 3 years that we've been in it, we've really enjoyed it. So,
you know, I need to actually take time. Like, I won't even be able to address how I fully feel on this episode. It's certainly not the topic of today's episode, but I'm processing on one end. I'm like, I love it because it creates this parity and competitiveness at the highest mm-hmm. level as you just kind of change the divisions midway through, put all the better teams or, you know, the high performing teams in the best division. But it also makes me sit there and think I could be rolling with a good team, you know, like looking like, man, we're going to win our division, win our level. And then all of a sudden, 1 month to go, now all of a sudden I got to go against the big dogs.
Yeah, I know.
I had the lane to championship. That's interesting.
It is. I think this year opened up probably the first discrepancy in that, where maybe a couple of teams maybe deserved to be in Division II and ended up in Division I because they finished strong, or their strength of schedule was really high, but their record was low. And some of those other schools that had a better record, but maybe not such a strong strength of schedule, should have swapped places. But it gave for a great tournament. We had several overtime games in the Division II. Had a buzzer beater. It was great for us. We got to host all of the CSAA championship games from middle school JV to varsity girls to varsity boys. We had it on site here, and so we hosted 11 championship games across all of those divisions and age groups. On campus, and it was great to be here and watch all of it. And spirit of competition, the fellowship was great. So it all culminated into a nice little weekend for us.
And everybody got to play on the new beauty, the courts recently done. Looks fantastic.
Thank you.
Caleb, let me ask. Okay, so as we jump into the season, so you're coming off of 2 years in a row of the championship. I mean, people start talking dynasty. They start talking legacy. I mean, three-peats are historic. Yeah. But going into this year, it was an interesting kind of take us through where you were, because you all had, obviously it's a team sport, but let's be honest, you all had a stud for the last 2 years, Jordan Pike.
Absolutely.
I mean, playing above the rim, mm-hmm. dunking, highlight reel. In many cases, unstoppable, probably the best player on the court 99% of the time he'd stepped on the court.
No doubt.
So you lose him. What is the mindset going out of last year, entering into this year, recognizing the loss?
Yeah, so losing Jordan was going to be extremely detrimental in many ways. He's a tremendous kid. He's a tremendous student, a great teammate. And we knew we were losing a lot. High level, full scholarship kid who's now in the portal with about 45 different Division I schools trying to bring him in. As he spent his freshman year, he won freshman of the year in the Gulf South Conference in Division II, and has now entered the portal. But losing him was huge, but also losing our school's all-time three-point leader in Jake Schneider, losing two other starters that all went on basketball scholarship this year, playing as freshmen in college ball, and it was huge. I mean, I think it averaged out. We lost 86% of our scoring between those four guys graduating. And we returned our point guard, which was huge, Alik Lewis. And Alik's going to be playing college ball somewhere next year as well. But that's really all we knew we had coming in. We had him, and we had a freshman rising sophomore that we were excited about his potential. And we ended up losing him in December to surgery. So it was difficult going through it. Of course, we had several kids that reached out and wanted to come over and attend and enroll here at Shining Light and played with us and ended up playing major roles throughout the season. And so many guys, like if I was going to give out a most improved award at the end of the year, it would be the most difficult award to figure out just because of the leaps and bounds that each player in every position in their role made from day one to the final buzzer. Wow. So it was amazing.
Yeah, Caleb, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
One of the things I think a lot of coaches can learn from you in what you've built in Lead 'Em Up, we have our green team rules. And rule number 6 states that you have to fight for it every single day, your green team. With the level of success that you've had, how do you continue to get that type of commitment and buy-in from the players? Because sometimes when you have a program like yours and you're a high-level coach like yourself, the tendency for some kids might be to like, oh, we're good. You know, we've won 2 back-to-back championships. This thing kind of runs itself. Yeah, we might've lost some players, but like, you know, we're in a good spot. Talk to us a little bit about like, how did you approach that? What are some of the intentional things that you do to continue to build that within your program?
Absolutely. So I got to start out by saying I'm far and away from perfect with always instilling Lead 'Em Up at the right point. A lot of times I feel like we can wait until the fall. We can do it day one of practice. We can, you know, we need to wait for the final roster. And for the first time since I've had my own program, I said, I'm starting in June, like day one of our summer ball this year. I don't care if half of these guys don't end up making our varsity roster or not. I am putting this in, and we are starting from day one in the summer with Lead 'Em Up. And I think that decision was probably the biggest part of the season, because we were able to have all summer, all fall, and those that made it through, you know, kind of the Remember the Titans thing with Coach Boone. If you make it through camp, you make it on the team. Those that made it through and were there day one of practice, they were ready to go. They knew what was expected. They knew what days we were going to have Lead 'Em Up. They knew when it was going to happen. And I think that was the biggest part of getting them to lean in on it. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for my assistant coaches as well that helped me stick to that. They've been a great supporter in the program as well. And I definitely say that keeping the guys locked in and getting them building that habit in June was key for us this year.
Well, it makes me wonder, did you do that also because of this new cast of characters? I mean, you got new guys coming in. It's definitely a very different team. Roles are looking different. I mean, you're almost starting back at square one. So is that part of why you said, like, man, we've got to be even more intentional with our culture, our leadership? We've got to be proactive on this because of so much change?
Absolutely. Because I felt like out of our few returners, we did bring back our MVG from last year.
Oh, good.
We brought back Eamon Griffin. And again, I don't know if it's the sovereignty of God and just lining steps of making those decisions ahead of time and things just falling in place. But, you know, giving it to an underclassman was a bit of a discussion for us last year of giving that MVG to a junior. And when maybe a senior, including Pike, that we were discussing trying to give it to. And we went with Eamon. And the biggest reason for me to give it to Eamon was I wanted him to improve for next year. And I think, Adam, you and I text you about it. And we kind of thought about, well, will this make him think he reached the top of being green? And I'm very thankful to say that it didn't. And he took more leaps and bounds, and I may or may not have given him a six that really needed a lot of hands-on attention this year. And he did great with that.
Well, Caleb, speak to that for a second, because you and I have had conversations over time, and you hold a very high standard for verification, for MVG. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of subjectivity around the country as it relates to Lead 'Em Up and giving out awards and such, our verification being our core one that goes throughout the season, MVG at the end of the year, Green 13, our big capturing at the full year. Speak to the standard, because there's been times where you're like, yep, nobody. And you, yeah, you literally will be like, nobody. I'm like, nobody? You're like, nobody. Mm-hmm. Speak to that standard, and you don't play around with that.
I try not to. I really do not want these guys to think that the award is just going to be given to someone at the end of the day, that because we have it on hand, that it's just going to be handed out. And I want them to understand what it takes and what it means to hold to the process of growing. And you can't be the MVG on day one and expect that you're going to be the MVG 4 months later, because there's going to be those ebbs and flows. There's going to be the reciprocity of the followership and leadership, and other guys are going to step up. And, you know, I talk with teachers. I ask them to kind of keep an eye on several guys and be like, listen, he's great for me in practice. Is he as good for you in class? And if they're not, they don't have to use the same vocabulary, but if they're not using the same standards and the same process of being green in the classroom, I don't expect them to be the same green on the court. And I need them to do that. Our administration needs them to do that. As a small school that has a large vision to grow over the next few years, then we need the guys to be, you know, locked in all the way through and understand what it means and why we do it, rather than just getting the title of it at the end of the year.
Yeah, I love that approach, Caleb, and that standard. That's something I think that we all can learn from as coaches, is the commitment to keeping that. And one of the things you mentioned just a little bit earlier was how your assistant coaches help keep you committed to kind of the vision. So I'm curious, one of the things that comes up a lot in some of our conversations throughout the country is some coaches may struggle to get the buy-in or to get the commitment level the same as, you know, throughout from the top to the assistants. Talk to us a little bit about the process you and your staff go through. How did you all come to get to this point, and what do you do to maintain the cohesiveness that you all have?
Definitely. I'm certainly a little blessed in the fact that my two assistant coaches are two of my best friends. And I've known my associate head coach, Lee Bailey, for 17 years now. We played together in high school. We won a state championship together as players in high school. And then our other assistant coach is a former college baseball player. And he came into kind of our friend circle, I guess almost a decade ago, playing church league softball. But I've known these guys for a long time, and they were coaches, assistant coaches at a different school. When I was an assistant for Josh Thompson at Bishop McGinnis, And the year that I was coaching college basketball, we stayed close. We met for lunch. All of our jobs were pretty close to one another, and we would meet for lunch daily and talk about each other's teams and, you know, what we would do. And, you know, one day we actually said a prayer before lunch when we were blessing our food and said, you know, Lord, maybe one day you'll put us all together to where we can be together as a staff. And it happened 3 years ago. And I asked those guys to come along. And now Coach Bailey is here working, teaching at the school. It's huge to have a second coach with me here. Coach Lucas is always sending me things that he may come across or different things that he picked up on the bench, because he's my assistant coach that is closest to the players on the bench. And he's always telling me things, you know, hey, does this match a lead 'em up lesson? You know, can this thing that happened, can we incorporate that into the next lead 'em up? And it's been fantastic. And administration here has been great, where, you know, not every administration has the concept that athletics can build your school. And we don't want to center our school around athletics, but we have to understand that it attracts student body to come in. And we want to make sure that if we can be committed to a standard in athletics, and that carries over into academics and the school spirit all around campus, then that will be great for the whole school. And our administration has been tremendous about it. Our community has been great. We actually have a parent that graciously donates the money to pay for Lead 'Em Up every year. And it was apparent from
Tanya.
That's right. It was a parent of the first MVG and Green 13, Alex Hogsett, that we had here. And the support, their continued support, because Alex was a senior my first year. And he's done. He went on to Bob Jones. And he's now doing great work as he's one of the top student managers on the varsity men's team down there. And Bob Jones went all the way to the national tournament this year. And, you know, it's been great to have the community love it. I mean, I've even been able to talk about Lead 'Em Up and talk about how we use it in front of our lieutenant governor, Mark Robinson, who's going to be on the ballot for the governor's race this year. He lives close to our school, and he's been, you know, kind of a keynote speaker at some of our stuff on campus. And it's been great to just allow other leaders, other community leaders, and people to see, you know, what we're trying to uphold here at the school.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You know, I love the
man
intentionality of assistant coaches looking at what's going on in the game. I love that point of saying, like, hey, how can we tie this specifically back to a lesson? Is there anything in particular that stands out from this year that really helped, where a coach saw something, called it out? And would love to kind of hear that story, if you don't mind sharing.
Absolutely. I don't know that it's ever left my mind, the exact moment that I'm thinking of. And it was very early in the year. I think we were 5-0. And we were going to play a association member, Veritas Academy down in Asheville, North Carolina. And we played them in the semifinals of the state tournament last year. And they've got a tremendous team, tremendous coaching staff. And we were at their place, first time we had ever played there. And we had two players in the fourth quarter. I mean, there might have been 4 or 5 minutes left in the game, and they were just going at it. One of them made a mistake. I think one of them was trying to have a green moment and bring him back in out of the red, but he didn't have enough sugar with his salt, if we're going to use the vocab here.
Yeah,
And it definitely had a contest from the red teammate at that moment. To where it was just two reds colliding, and it was difficult, and I needed it. I mean, one was our best shooter, and one was our tallest, longest guy, and I had foul trouble. We're in the final quarter, and I had to pull both of them off the floor. What was I going to do? If I left them on the floor at that time, there's no chance we have to win. And I sat them on the bench. I had to continue coaching the game. Coach Lucas gets up, and I'm so grateful for the trust I have to continue coaching that game and allowing him to handle it. And I remember, you know, hearing some of the things he was saying, and I said, oh, that's good. I was like, I would have said the same thing probably. And so I just let him handle it. And later in the game, they'd been sitting for a while. We called timeout, and I went to him and I said, are either of those guys ready to play? You know, are they ready to meet the standards that we require as teammates before they are as basketball players? And he said that they were, and we were able to get them back on the floor. And then handling that situation, getting on the bus, going to dinner after the game, talking to Coach Lucas and asking him, all right, what happened? Said, I heard some things, but what all was going on? And when he was able to tell me those things, and he said, yeah, we used the last lead 'em up lesson we had, and we talked about that. And then I was able to tell them some future things down the road that we've talked with in other lessons from our past 2 years. And he said, how can we make sure that something like this doesn't happen again? And I said, I think we can find something in the curriculum to fit that mold. And that moment right there, I think was huge. We ended up playing that same team again in the semifinals again for the second year in a row. And if we don't have that moment, I don't know if we can beat that team in the semis. And we were getting beat worse in the semifinals than we were in that game. And I can vividly go back to the moment where those two players had to come together and realize what standards we had for one another. And when we were down, I think 18-4 to start this game against Veritas again, I could go back and say, you know, the most green team right now is going to come away with this win. And that's what's going to happen. And lo and behold, we would have that same type of conversation in a timeout in the state championship game as well. So,
yeah, I mean, I love that. That's just incredible to be able to, like you said, to have the trust in the assistant coach and then for the conversations to be simple and effective and cut right to the point is one of the things we often talk about, but to hear it from your perspective and how it played out, you know, I think it really speaks to just how effective that can be in bringing people together.
Hey, this is Josh from Chick-fil-A and author of the Adulting 101 book series, and this is today's Leadership Nugget. Knowing and leading yourself is the first step in every leader's journey. When developing future leaders within my team, we start with knowing yourself and then transition to leading yourself. Once you know and lead yourself, you can move into knowing and leading others. Too often, people will try to bypass these critical steps before leading other people. Start with having a clear understanding of who you are and how you operate. This will ensure a strong foundation for future leadership growth. No one wants to be led by someone that doesn't first know and understand themselves. Now, let's jump back into the episode.
Well, so you kind of alluded to it a little bit. You're in the championship game. Right? Yeah. Tell us what happened. Like, for our listeners here, describe it, because this is incredible. And me trying to describe is not going to do it justice. So give us the rundown of your championship win here this year. How did that happen?
Definitely. So we were blessed enough to have another great regular season. To where we were able to get the overall number one seed. So we were able to play at home all the way through, just because we also had the luck of the draw where we were hosting the championships for our association.
What was your regular season record?
We were 18 and what were 17-3 going into the tournament. So the three losses we had were tough losses. We lost to a really good Calvary Day School, another lead 'em up program, I believe.
Shout out to Joe.
Yep. We lost to North Raleigh Christian, another lead 'em up program. Shout out to Ronnie Krueger. Yeah. And then the other loss
and was lead 'em up's helping you on one end and crushing you on the other. What the heck?
I know. And if you ask Coach Krueger that the greenest game his team had the entire year was against us.
Oh my gosh.
And he has told me that, and it has not made the loss sting any less.
I promise you, he would have traded places with your outcome and ending.
Yeah, for sure.
And given you that win, if that was on the table as a trade.
He would. And if I can just take a quick minute to say how amazing it is to have colleagues like Coach Ronnie Krueger. He is phenomenal. He has gone through a lot this season that he did not need to deal with, that any coach should ever have to deal with. And I'm blessed to have him as a friend, and I'm glad that we were able to help each other through a lot this year. So
yeah, well said.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but Ronnie, now I'm going to talk about my state championship. So it was amazing. The team that we played, we have played it through the regular season in the past. I do commend that team and that program. When I came in 3 years ago to this association, they were, I believe, Division III or Division II by the end of each year. Next year, they made their way into Division I. They lost in the semifinals to the team we would eventually beat for the state championship last year. And this year, to begin, I said, you know what? I know what this team is. I know who they are. I don't think I want to see them in the regular season again. I think ultimately we're either going to see them in the semifinals or the finals of our state playoffs. And I didn't want to see them in the regular season. And there's different schools of thought there. Do you want to see a team that you might play? In fact, I even put that poll out on Instagram, I think. Do you want to play a potential playoff team in the regular season? And it was about a 65-35 split that they would want to play. But I ultimately made a decision that I didn't want to. And I don't know if it helped or not, but we did. And they were extremely talented this year. They went about 8 or 9 deep. And aside from, I think our point guard may have been the best player on the floor, but maybe the next 4 or 5 guys, when you combine experience and skill level, I think the next 4 probably went to them. They were good. They played really hard. They played a style that had hurt us, earlier in the year, just a physical bullying type style of basketball. And, that could hurt a team like us that's got a short bench. And found ourselves down by a lot. Carved it back to, I think, maybe a 3 or 4 point game at halftime, and got down to the final minute. My best athlete is fouled out of the game. My tallest, biggest player has fouled out of the game, and we're down 8 points with 45 seconds to go. And
wow.
Yeah, that
8:45 to go.
Yeah, I still can't fathom it. But down 8 with 45 seconds to go, and Jaden Adams, our team's second leading scorer, great guy, gets an and-1 and goes to the line and cut it to 5. And we decided to go with the philosophy of pressure and try to force a turnover before we foul kind of thing, kind of giving almost like an 8-second thing. And man, I could hear it from the crowd, like, foul now, you're losing time, foul. And I was like, I know, but For some reason, I felt like maybe we could turn them over. And we were able to turn them over once. And then, you know, they missed a couple free throws some other times. But we made that 8-point deficit up without hitting a three in the last 45 seconds. We got two separate and ones attacking the rim, getting to the basket. And, you know, every good run, just like we've seen with NC State of late, needs a couple missed free throws. And it worked. And we tied the game up with Amon Griffin, last year's MVG, hitting a layup as time is about to expire to tie the game in regulation. And we call him Playoff Amon now because his numbers in the playoffs last 2 years have been phenomenal. And he got that basket. We went to overtime and, you know, we actually kind of handled overtime and ended up winning. They did have a shot to tie at the end. We made a couple mistakes towards the last few seconds of overtime and they got it to three. We hit a free throw to go up three and then they missed two opportunities to tie it at the end of the game. And from there, it was just pure jubilation. And we had a tremendous atmosphere that night. It was the loudest, the most packed our gym has been. And we had people stuffed in the corners. Five or six times the referees had to ask people to move away from the mats on the baseline. So it was great. It was great for this team that, you know, did not seem to have possibly the same expectations as the last two to be able to fight through, hold together and come away winning a state championship.
You know, it's those games like this one that make all the work, all the hours so worth it.
Yes.
You know, championship moments like that. And, you know, your and one, shout out to the clutchness. You don't get and ones unless you make the free throws. So you all were making the free throws as well.
Yeah.
And you seal the deal on a three-peat. Incredible job, coach. And I think to Kyle's earlier question, for me, when I just think about three-peats, it's just so impressive the high level consistency that is required to get there. I mean, you really just have to maintain a high standard, maintain a performance standard that is really elevated, you know, and to get young people to be able to commit to that is incredible. And I celebrate you. You know, I just, you shared with us and it recently went out on social. You've got some beautiful rings being designed. Talk about the themes on there, because there is a cool little lead them up shout out, but just how those rings kind of came about, because I think they tell the story in many ways of the run and of the season and just some of the themes there.
Absolutely. First off, shout out Tuck Dieter with Balfour, who has helped us the last couple of years. And he was even our rep when I was at Bishop McGinnis and we won a state championship.
I mean, you're like his best client.
Yeah, keeping him in business.
You know, I mean, like when in sales, you got to like hold on to your good accounts. He's like, listen, we got to keep taking Caleb out to dinner. He just produces winners.
And there's a little truth to that. I'll give him a shout out. Once we paid for and finalized last year's rings, he said, I'll see you again next year. And of course, I hit him back and said, I don't know about next year.
Yeah, but here we are.
So he's done a great job. But shout out to my seniors as well. I've really tried to get their input on the ring this year, and they did a great job. You know, there's a lot of different things that I think mean something to the team that may not have resonated as much with the players as I thought it did, or as it did with me. So checking with them, making sure, you know, this design wasn't just for one or two people on the team, that it was culminating everyone. And it was great. Of course, we've got the B green build green on there. And then we've also put our season hashtag that we put in last summer, which was the word obsessed. And we put the number three for that middle E in the word obsessed, just because I wanted them to understand the level of obsession to the details and to the process that it was going to take to ultimately win another state championship. And we also talked about, you know, the word obsessed that sometimes has a bad connotation to it. You know, you're just so obsessed with that. You need to chill. Well, okay, but what are you obsessed over? You know, if I'm obsessed over reading scripture every morning, then that's okay. And if I'm obsessed with being a green teammate, then that's okay. Like you can put those things into an obsession category. And so we did that. And we also put on the ring. I was a little saying that the guys loved that in the pregame speech before the championship game. We talked about how this team, you know, started from where they were, has made their way up. They kind of saw us as a giant of sorts in our association, which I would never put that on us at all. We've had some great talent, great teams, but there are definitely other teams and programs that are giants above us. But I guess to create the rivalry and the competitive edge, you know, they had kind of done that for their program. So I needed to find a way to combat that. And I just told them that if we were going to be seen as giants, then David was going to need a little more than a sling and a few stones to take us out. And just to kind of give them that last little bit of edge. And so there is a little line on the ring that says it takes more than a sling. And so that was huge for our guys. They loved that. And then Coach Lucas, putting the game stats and win probability into a algorithm type thing, brought it out to where we, or the other team, Greater Vision, had a 99.8% chance of winning at that point. And so our percentage of winning was 0.2. So we have now put on the ring of 0.2% on there as well. So it's great. And I love having the guys, you know, put their thoughts and detail into it as well. It goes back to how much they really cared and how much they wanted to lean in for it.
Caleb, you know, you talk about building a program that is detail oriented. I think that shows through on the details of the ring. I mean, yeah, Capturing every little detail and including it on there, I think is fantastic. And Caleb, you know, as I hear your story of the journey on your championship run, there's three things that really just kind of stand out to me as we begin to wrap up here. And Caleb, I'll share kind of my notes and you tell me, yep, that's accurate. If I missed anything, add on. But when I look at your championship run, I take note of, there was an incredible ramping up of intentionality this year, right? It's not that you were unintentional in years before. There's just always levels to it. And it appears this year, when you talked about starting in June and committing at a greater capacity, there was a ramping up of intentionality of how you were going to build it, what the players were going to need to do, the details, all of that. And I could sense that got elevated this year. Secondly, you continued to hold extremely high standards for your athletes and push them and challenge them. And you took this group without their stars from the previous year, best three-point shooters, best player, and they rose to the occasion of those standards. They elevated to get to that point, and where they finish, significantly more advanced than where they started. And that happens when you hold a standard and you push the players to reach it rather than pulling down the standards so the players meet it. The third thing, this incredible focus on getting everyone on the same page. You talked about in June, whether you were going to make the team or not, we were all going to be on the same page. The language that began to kind of enter into the program, how even the assistant coaches during games and sitting down players talking about things you all have talked about, getting everyone there on the same page, and even the same page of the buy-in of, it's going to take more than a sling, right? Like every component of the program, getting everyone on the same page. When I look at what it took, I mean, those are three kind of core macro level themes that stood out to me. Caleb, your thoughts on that kind of summarization there of what I captured?
For sure. The first one with the intentionality is the nail on the head. You know, sometimes as a coach, as a leader in any capacity, you always wonder if you are doing enough, and you wonder if you are being intentional enough. And I tried not to let, you know, the fact that we were successful with wins the last 2 years make me think I could go through the same steps and get the same result. And so we sat down, we set goals and standards for us as a coaching staff first. And my number one was, like I talked earlier, was just to start the curriculum, the process as soon as possible. And it was great. And so you hit it right there to being intentional and trying to stay consistent all the way through with that intentionality. And the standards, I think maybe they were elevated a little bit from past years. You know, that's probably the one step that was the same as getting those standards and the process that Lead 'Em Up puts you through of putting those green and red markings on the whiteboard and letting those guys see and talk about what a green and a red teammate is. But again, with the intentionality, you know, in the past, the last 2 years, we've had six standards, and I decided with this group, let's have four, because if we can really just hone in on four very specific and detailed standards and live up to those, then maybe we won't have a chance or a possibility for our team to worry about two separate standards. You know what I'm saying? Just really bringing it in and bringing it down to where we could really micro-focus, I guess, on those four. And that was huge. And I think that helped. And I made the guys put it as their lock screen. And I still have it as mine. I haven't changed my lock screen yet.
What were your standards?
This year was hardworking, enthusiasm, humility, and family. Hardworking, we said, is doing your absolute best to be the best version of yourself on and off the court. And so that brings it into what we talked about when I would ask teachers about those guys. And then it says, how you do anything is how you do everything. And my favorite analogy there is the shopping cart analogy. And that was probably one of the first ones we talked about. And enthusiasm is getting the opportunity to play basketball is a get to and not a got to. We get to go do this. Have the enthusiasm to love it and do it every day. Be grateful for that opportunity. So that was the enthusiasm. Humility is sacrificial, sacrificing your individual wants for the greater benefit of your team. And family, cultivating clear communication without egos and attitudes, loving one another and understanding that all parties involved are striving to attain the same goal. So those were those four that we really wanted to focus in on. And those are the ones that you guys know they choose.
Yep.
You know, we facilitate, we put it on the board, we write it. I may define it a little better than the high school's vocabulary can, but they described it and they chose them. And then when you said same page, that was our guys' favorite exercise this year. So they loved it. I think we did it maybe three or four times throughout the year.
That's fantastic.
And so doing that, in fact, it got so loud one time because I think I had like a midday team meeting during lunch break or something. And it got so loud at one point, there was another group meeting and we actually moved over to their classroom and we did it with whoever was over there. So it was a lot of fun. And I'm proud of those dudes from day one.
Caleb, we appreciate you so much. Congratulations on a great year. As you know, the green team begins new, right? I don't know when timing begins for the next year, but it'll start new and you've got to start establishing the new foundation as you go for the four-peat. Hey, If I learn anything, I actually have one of my teams up here in Maryland. We're going for a four-peat this year.
Wow.
Our spring season right now. It's a girls lacrosse team. I'll keep you posted if there's anything I learn in the four-peat that differs from the three-peat. I will say one thing that I am going to share with Coach Brandel on this particular team is how I think he made the right decision of ramping up his intentionality, similar to you. We moved Lead Him Up earlier than we had in previous years.
Cool.
Because he felt like same point.
Yeah.
We just got to ramp it up a little bit just to kind of maintain. And sometimes it's that feel from a coach. You just feel like this is what we've got to do.
Yes.
Based on where the team's personality is at. But nonetheless, Caleb, hey, appreciate you so much, Coach Money. Congratulations on another successful championship run. And appreciate all your support to Lead Them Up. And we love following you and our friendship. And we will continue to follow along, Caleb. Kyle, anything you want to close with?
No, just a fantastic story of your season, but just, again, a reminder to us all of the commitment to consistency and the intentionality that it takes to build a program like that. So, Caleb, certainly celebrate you and all the great things that you're doing. You're doing a fantastic job.
I appreciate it, guys. And if I could say one more thing, Adam, the first podcast I ever did was with you and TJ with Hardwood Hustle. And my wife was pregnant with our first child. And now we're expecting our fourth. So it's been a crazy last 6-7 years. So
it really has, man. I'll never forget. We were in that hotel lobby there, I believe in Winston-Salem before. I think I was doing the Chris Paul event.
Yep.
Yeah, that was fantastic. You and Josh coming down. That was so good. And yeah, a lot has changed. And I mean, four kids, four rings. It has to happen. You got to get the fourth.
Well, if
kids need to get a picture of all the kids with their rings in like a couple years when they're old enough.
Yeah.
Think social viral content, Caleb.
All right. Well, if kids and rings are a correlation, I got to stop one. So. So we'll see.
See you, buddy. Hey, appreciate it. Hey, coaches out there listening, thank you so much for tuning in. As always, have fun and lead them up.